Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. March 20th, 2020. What is so unique about the coronavirus? From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, the 20th of March 2020. The coronavirus pandemic we are now experiencing will go down in history as a very unique period. A state of emergency around the world and the paralysis of our economic and social structures have come about all due to one tiny and hardly visible virus. Other than the coronavirus health risks, it endangers the systems that human society was constructed on. It makes no distinction between economic and social status, whether one is a simple worker or a president. If we thought that we had strong economic and social infrastructures, we quickly saw that a microscopic virus could pull the carpet from under our feet. Countries left, right and center are closing their borders and requesting their citizens to stay at home other than leaving for essential needs. Therefore, we see how one little virus came along and dismantled the materialistic connections that we created between us, connections based on making money, exploiting and competing with each other. The coronavirus, an example of human imbalance with nature. Nature constantly aspires to restore balance, a state of well-oiled interdependence based on everyone considering the common benefit of all. Our egoistic nature, on the other hand, opposes such mutual consideration, as the human ego strives to use anybody and anything in order to benefit itself. It follows that we brought about this virus by driving our egoistic connections to unparalleled heights. Consequently, a biological particle surfaced that has the strength to shatter our egoistic connections. Other than the coronavirus, we encounter countless problems on personal, social, global and ecological scales in the modern world, and it is all due to us trying to build our success on the ruin of others. In recent times, the human ego passed all limitations. The integral mechanism of nature could no longer bear the soaring levels of exploitation, manipulation and abuse among us humans, and it thus reacted with the coronavirus. In nature, the human level is its most influential. It affects physical and biological connections on its lower animate, vegetative and still levels. As such, negative human connections give rise to negative feedback toward humans from biological phenomena at lower levels. However, pandemics are nothing new to our world. We experienced many more deaths in other pandemics of the past, when the ego was much smaller than it is today. We have been though pandemics so relentless that they even discarded with populations of entire cities. Moreover, the coronavirus mortality rate is relatively low, and by comparison, the seasonal flu has caused more illnesses and deaths. What, then, is so unique about the coronavirus? What is so unique about the coronavirus? The coronavirus uniqueness is that, despite the highest level of progress that we have ever achieved in our world, it shows us how we are unable to get our life in order. With full material well-being, we lack positive human relations. And we can only point the finger of blame on ourselves, or more accurately, on the egoistic human nature involuntarily lurking beneath our every thought and action. Through the revelation of the coronavirus, nature shows us that we need only cure the ego, that is, that we need to change our approach to the world from how can others benefit me, to how can I benefit others? That is the deeper meaning behind the pandemic. We live in a global and integral world, and the coronavirus pandemic clarifies that our ego-based connections in an interdependent world are faulty and dangerous. Nature has brought us to the realization of our total dependence on each other. From this realization, we are given time to examine how can we relate to each other and to nature differently, with attitudes of mutual support, encouragement and consideration replacing those of exploitation, manipulation and abuse. If we use the time we have now to impact this shift, we will come out of this pandemic into a new and balanced world, and experience our global interdependence harmoniously. When will coronavirus disappear? What is the reason for the spreading of the coronavirus? We must understand that this is a reaction of nature. Nature obligates us to realize that we are in an integral system. If we disobey the laws of this integral system, its basic law of mutual responsibility, which connects together all parts of the system, then the system responds with blows. So far, this is just the beginning of the coronavirus epidemic, and we must take it and other viruses that are yet to be revealed as a signal of our incorrect connection with each other. We must learn that we exist in the integral system of nature, where all parts are connected with each other, and there is only one disruptive force in the entire system, the human being. We must correct ourselves, because nature will nevertheless force us to improve our relations with each other until they become so good that the virus will disappear. From CAB TV's New Life number 1212, Mutual Responsibility, March 10, 2020. Feel the force connecting us. Each of us receives an initial desire for the revelation of the Creator, which is called the point in the heart. But this point itself is unable to cope with anything, it cannot perform any action. All we can do from the very beginning is to annul our egoism as much as possible in order to connect with our friends. We await the Creator to make this connection between us. And as soon as I feel connected with my friends, right there, in this mutual connection, me with my friend and my friend with me, I feel this force connecting us, the quality of the Creator, the mutual bestowal between me and my friend. Thus, we reveal the Creator. It turns out that what is in each of us doesn't matter, but what matters is between us. The network itself is more important than the nodes of the grid. Although the network is created on the basis of the nodes, to achieve the goal of merging with the Creator, the grid is much more important. There is only one soul in the world, and this soul is in its entirety found in every person of Israel, Yasharkel, which means straight to the Creator, that is, in everyone who is eager to practically reveal the upper force, the source of his soul. How is it that each of us can feel this whole soul completely, even though there are billions of people in the world? Each person, each part of the soul, in proportion to its connection with others, begins to attain the same common soul. Until a person unites with everyone, he does not recognize this soul but only some part of it. But, having revealed all the connections, he will feel the whole upper light, like Adam HaRishon, the only soul created by the Creator. Now I do not feel it only because there is the force of the shattering in me, which prevents me from feeling myself in the corrected, perfect, unique state. Because of this inner shattering, I seem to be unconscious, as if in a dream, and should wake up from sleep. Now we are separated from the real reality, and when we wake up at the end of correction, we will realize that we were in a terrible dream. The inner power of the shattering separates each one from the rest and keeps everyone in a dream. But when we begin to work on our correction, we attract the upper light, which awakens us. And then we return from sleep to reality and feel the true life, realizing that we all relate to one system, one soul. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 19th of February 2020, only through the Ten to the Creator. The global pandemic. We live during a very special time, which will be remembered in history as the coronavirus pandemic. The worldwide emergency has been that has become global. And it is all because of one tiny virus. One can hardly see it, yet it has managed to produce an enormous revolution and paralyze our entire life. Besides the danger that this disease entails, it destroys all systems that human society is built upon. The virus threatens everyone from a simple worker to a prime minister. It seemed to us that the structures we built were powerful and unshakable, but it turned out that a microscopic virus can undercut the entire system at the root. Countries are closing their borders and asking their citizens to isolate themselves for a long period of time. The entire world is hiding at home and locking itself up. So what is happening? Here comes one little virus that breaks all profitable connections that we have built between us so that we make money from others, exploit, and compete with each other. Obviously, this was not a good state because nature always aspires to restore the correct balance in as much as it is able to withstand our egoistic nature that strives to use everybody. It follows that we engendered this virus ourselves by driving our relationships to an unprecedented egoistic level. Consequently, there appeared a virus, a biological particle able to break down all the egoistic relationships we have built. There is no end to strife in the modern world where everyone wants to use the other or even destroy him. Egoism has crossed all limits and as a result, the virus appeared. The integral mechanism of nature could not bear such a level of human interactions and it has reacted with the coronavirus. The lack of positive connection between people gives rise to the biological phenomenon at the lower level. Human relationships represent the highest degree of nature that affects the physical and biological connections below them. Epidemics are nothing new to our world. In the past, the epidemics were so severe that they emptied entire cities. What is so special about the coronavirus? The mortality rate is not that high, inevitably a certain number of people die every year the seasonal flu. But the problem is that despite the highest level of progress that we have achieved, we are unable to get our life in order. With full material well-being, there is the lack of positive human relations. That is why we cannot build a normal society and educate our children correctly. It is all the fault of the human ego. Nature shows us that only our egoism needs a cure and that is why it reveals the coronavirus for us. This is the inner meaning of the crisis. We live in a global world and the pandemic makes it clear that our global connection might be dangerous. However, we have no choice. Human development brings us to the realization of our connection and total dependence on each other. By trying to thwart the pandemic, the countries are trying to close themselves up and isolate people by breaking down the connections. But ultimately, we will only realize that it is impossible because by this we doom ourselves to a miserable life as if returning to primitive times. From CAB TV's New Life, 1211. March 10, 2020. Thrive Global published my new article, Coronavirus, Opportunity to Change Our Social Infrastructure. If we help and support each other, we will have what it takes to make it through this transitory period into a whole new, balanced and harmonious world. We can find many reasons to complain about the disruptions in our lives since the start of the coronavirus pandemic. However, if we take a closer look, we will see that we are in the midst of a rare opportunity to change our social infrastructure for the better. The coronavirus worldwide rippling effects have provided us with a unique perception test, whether we view the coronavirus pandemic as crisis or opportunity, disease or medicine, virus or vaccine. Isolation in our homes or new stage of human connection, depends solely on our attitude. Nature develops everything and everyone to more and more connection. As such, nature's innate quality aims to mend and heal any tears and divisions that surface within it. The parallel races we were running for excessive consumption, materialistic status and exploitative power, where we had set up our lives to outcompete others in one or all of those areas, came to a sudden halt with the onset of the coronavirus. If we thus step back and view humanity as a single organism for a moment, we can then see how the coronavirus came not as a disease, but as medicine, to heal the body of humanity from the egoistic, consumeristic and materialistic addiction of its cells, us. However, since we became accustomed to looking through narrow egoistic lenses, where we each seek self-benefit at the expense of others, creating and abiding by social infrastructures that function accordingly, we then find it very hard to see the positive impact of the restrictions that the coronavirus has brought to our lives. We perceive nature's positive influence as negative due to our opposite mindset. Nature functions integrally, as a single interconnected whole, whereas we perceive individually, seeing ourselves as separate beings from other people and nature. Also, where nature acts to benefit the whole creation at every moment, leading it carefully and gradually to a state of total connection and homeostasis, we act in an opposite way, selfishly taking into account only whoever and whatever we need for our own benefit and comfort. There is thus no negative action or attitude in nature. What we perceive as negative is due to our opposite negative and egoistic form to nature's positive and altruistic form. Therefore, if we view the coronavirus as nature giving us its medicine, an opportunity to connect more positively among each other and realize our newfound global interdependence in a mutually encouraging way, then we will be able to create a happy and healthy world for us all. Understandably, in the beginning it is expected to be difficult to overcome the barriers we have established between us. But if we help and support each other, we will have what it takes to make it through this transitory period into a whole new, balanced and harmonious world. The Land of Israel, Dispersion and Assimilation, Part 4. Egoism's Impulses. Comment: during the time of the First Temple, the schism between people gradually intensified. The people, like its spiritual leaders, were constantly faced with a choice, either to live by the method of Moses, which he received at Mount Sinai, or to adopt the lifestyle of their neighbors. Interestingly, throughout history Jews have always tried to be like their neighbors. Answer: to be like means to reject living above one's ego and existing within egoism, like all other nations. Of course, this inclination exists inside each of us because it is a natural internal impulse of one's egoism. Since egoism keeps growing, it follows that such impulses are constant. Thus, when we are talking about assimilation, to be like other nations means to use egoism for oneself. From the perspective of Kabbalah, the nations of the world are our egoistic desires, while Israel is the altruistic desires. As a result of this, there are both kinds of people in the world. Concerning nationality, any person who begins to correctly balance their egoism can become a Jew. From CabTV's Systematic Analysis of Development of the People of Israel, July 8, 2019. How names are given to phenomena and objects. Question: when I reach a state higher than the one I am in now, will I be able to give my name to this state? Or will I only reveal the names that we study in Kabbalah? Answer: that is correct. You will reveal these states as they are called in Kabbalah. You will look, say, at a wine glass and say, "Oh, this is called a wine glass. Wine glass." Actually, you never knew this word before, but when you see this object, you will understand what it is called. And this is so with everything that you find at any degree of any world. This is where the name comes from in Kabbalah. Only from attainment. In our world, names are given from the attainment of the root and the branch. Since everything that is at the level of our world comes from the upper world, the Kabbalists, knowing these roots, gave names to the objects of our world. Therefore, this is how terminology in our world came about. All this is described in Kabbalistic books. In fact, this was done by Adam 5780 years ago. From CabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 5, 2020. New Life 306. Social Impact.
שלום לכם, תודה שאתם איתנו, אנחנו כאן עם חיים חדשים, סדרת השיחות הלימודיות עם הרב דוקטור מיכאל לייטמן. שלום הרב לייטמן.
שלום לכולם.
שלום טל.
לייטמן. הלו טל. Today we want to talk about influence of the environment. Every one of us is born in some kind of environment, family, school, kindergarten, people that we work with, and we spend most of our life with We're social beings. That's how nature created us. And from that, we know that the environment influences us. It's trivial, which today we'll try to examine it a bit deeper. We'll see what's our reaction to this interaction. We'll see what is our place in this system that we live in. And of course, how to use this influence for the better, so we lead our life to a better and happier place. Tal, why don't you give us an intro? There's a very common and known song, a line from a song, which says that the person is just a reflection of his environment, where he was raised and born. And we have a lot of research that proves this saying. We all know this theory, but really from research, we see that the influence of our environment is so relevant in every state, at work, on the street, on the day-to-day. And I'm not sure that we know how much we are influenced, how deep is this influence, and this is what we want to talk about today. Social psychology looks into it today, and we see a lot of processes that affect one another, even the presence of other people around us. We see it in the brain and affects the neurons. There's all sorts of different things surrounding us that affect us, even though we don't know that affect us. What is this mechanism that influences us that we are not aware of even? Is there some kind of law that we can start to know? We're connected together. And everything with a net that closes us in a complete manner. That there's no such thing in anyone that's not connected to everyone. To all 7 billion. Everyone, okay. Really. And we're not aware of it, but we live in this connection. And connection between humans also affects our connection with the animate and vegetative and still and in general, still vegetative, animate and human are actually connected in all sorts of connections and affect one another. Connected means receiving and giving, mutual bestow, from everyone to everyone. And we see it today especially, when we do something as a result of a human action, there's all sorts of phenomenons and reactions in nature, in the vegetative. And this it's common to think that we're a part of the nature, still vegetative, animate, and we can build ourselves some artificial life in some box. We see that we're in fact connected to everything and to everyone. And the problem is that we can put so much negative influence that it can turn on us, and who knows what will happen to us as a result. This means the influence of the environment on a person is an influence which is complete and total, that we can't think otherwise. We even don't know how much we're connected to space and galaxies. Excuse me? To all the stars and galaxies and so on. Meaning, this connection is just one big integral net, closed and whole, that no one is a part of this connection. But if we will, let's put aside our connection with still vegetative animate and talk only of the human environment, humanity, we discover very interesting phenomena. We need to start talking about human nature, that with that he connects to the environment. A human is a creature who is egoistic. We're in a system that tries to maintain the state as good as possible, the best state that she can. That's our aim. And our body works in that, on our subconscious, and always stabilizes himself and all his systems, and stabilizes himself with the environment, warmth, cooling, pressures, humidity, and also inside all the systems work the same way. Just to stabilize constantly so the system can maintain an optimal working state. When we're connected to all humanity and still vegetative animate, same law applies and works. But here there's a mutual influence between humans and the opposite of still vegetative animate. We are in a very fast and accelerated development, very intense progress, and that is why we need to pay attention. As psychology also researches this, the influence of the environment on a person. Because I'm the will to receive. I want to hold myself as comfortable as I can, in the best state, the least to give effort, and the most to get pleasure. It's the same way in still vegetative animate. All nature is that way. But in human, it's felt to a much higher degree. It turns out that I constantly see the environment in opposed to me. How am I in accordance with the environment? We're talking about a regular person who is in an environment. He wants to be close to the environment. Not physically. So there's no fights or uncomfortable states between him and the society. Person wants to ensure himself, his present and future state, as good, and good meaning I want to be as friendly as I can with my connection with the environment. Either, it doesn't matter the environment, even if I'm with criminals, smart, dumb, it doesn't matter. Everywhere I enter, within my, when I choose and even when I don't choose it, unless I come and I want on purpose to be separated. But everywhere I go, instinctively, I want to build myself in accordance with everyone, similar to everyone. And with that, I acquire security, comfort, and even enjoy this environment that I'm in. But at least not to cause any harm upon myself. Then from there I increase the influence of the environment on me. How are they speaking? How are they dressing? How should I act with them? So they don't see me as an enemy. And from this instinct, from a human towards the environment, there comes the interaction with the environment, and then he's affected by it, influenced by it. So whether we want it or don't want it, we always learn how to not stand out. And even if I want to stand out in a good way, I always measure how much is it good in their eyes and is it appropriate. Maybe if I see that, if they think that I'm smart and special, they would respect me and I would be more beneficial for me and I will use them, then yes. But if no, I lower myself to their degree, even below them, and so on. So a person always checks himself like some kind of, how to say, I measure. I constantly measure with this level, if I'm more or less or equal, and so on. This is the influence of the environment on a person. And it's very, very big. And it's as a result of the size of the society, the environment. Here we need to consider the force of the environment. It's in accordance to their strength, their quantity. So there's nothing to do. If it's a large environment, a person annuls himself. The only exception is if he has a certain plan, a certain way, and he plans himself, then he can enter this environment and start to change it. And also, when he comes to change it, he doesn't come to go against it, but to implement his opinion, and he needs to convince this large community that if they accept his opinion, they will be better off, meaning he's working towards the environment, for the good of the environment. And he has to convince them. There we have different laws, the influence of the single person on the environment. A single person can't influence the environment unless they are calm. Let's say leadership. We can call it leadership. It can be in a state where the society is in a good place. Only in a situation where society discovers something that's not stable and they're uncertain in what to do, and there's all sorts of different opinions. It's not a society. It's something very confused. And then a small group can influence the big group. And also in that manner, it's not simple. It's not easy. It doesn't come right away. Because instinctively, the mass never agrees to the opinion of a small group. Here it depends, I would say, on patience, on tenacity, to constantly influence your opinion of the smaller quantity, of the smaller group, in a more convincing way, in a more efficient way. It's a major preparation in psychology and to know how to approach it. But there is a possibility of a small group influencing the mass. Especially in the world we live today, where everything is unstable and no one knows where to go. Here we can see that a person or a small group, that in the course of a certain time period, can bring to the masses their opinion, only if they make sure they work constantly with a lot of patience to make their approach, to make it look rational, reasonable, and as much as they can to make it appear good in opposed to the bad situation and all these discernments that the masses are in. That is talking about the smaller group influencing the mass. Usually a person doesn't want the environment to influence him. He claims that he's not influenced. He's not so easy to manipulate. There's a tendency in people to think that way. Yes, it's natural that every one of us is influenced. It's natural. And what comes through nature, we don't feel. Whatever comes that's not against my will to receive, I don't feel it as resistance and friction internally. That's why it goes, it passes by me, and I don't feel it. From there, I wanted to ask, through what mechanisms does this happen? Not long ago, I was in a workshop, and we needed to give compliments to each other on our shoes. It was amazing. It was something artificial, seemingly, but someone gave a compliment to another on their shoes. Suddenly, I really saw the shoes as beautiful, even though I knew it was artificial, it was exercise. But the fact that I heard someone else think something, I felt how it changes my perception, my point of view. Suddenly, I realized I'm not in control. I'm influenced with everything. Yes, there's a lot of research on this. If I say some opinion on something, and someone else, some people come and say a different opinion than what I think, then I agree with them. There's a conformist research by Ash, where they discovered that a person is very scared to be in a mistake towards the society or not to conform. We see it in the experiment of Ash. So how is that that if I hear someone else say something, an opinion, it changes my opinion? It's the words, the thoughts. It's even more than that. Like I said, we're connected in a net of forces which is so diverse that the influence on the environment goes through all the systems. I'm connected, let's say, each one of us covers each other else. We're in a state where everyone covers him. And the systems are so diverse and has so many different layers. It's hard to describe. What does it mean each one engulfs the other or closes the other? Each system is connected to each and every other system. The biology, nerve system, emotional, mind system, all my internal world, fears, happiness, excitement, positive or negative, all the imagination, thoughts that I never express. How am I connected to others? It's unknown. It's like we're connected through the air. There is no air, actually. We're connected in nets that we can't avoid it. When I see your shoes in this workshop and say, wow, what kind of beautiful shoes are they? What kind of heel? Even the string is so special. And you see, Miss Tal suddenly opens her eyes and wants to see this, how they're designed. Well, she can't agree with you because you're alone. Let's say we do a circle with more people. For sure, she will think how to exit here and go buy these shoes for her spouse. We want to research this. We talked to a few people. We complimented your shoes. She was among us and heard this. And after a round where people talked, She has a new perception. First, she didn't even pay attention to your shoes. Now she's magnetized, focused on your shoes. Please explain technically what happened to her. We threw words in the air. She heard. What happened inside of her? But suddenly, there's an appreciation to your shoes. What, she has some kind of computer? Technically, what's going on? We influenced her with our thoughts because she heard us. Even if she didn't hear us, even if she didn't see it on the internet or something, thoughts are in the air, are covering the globe. So even if we didn't verbally say it, we would just think about your shoes. Five people would look at your shoes and really appreciate and look at your shoes. And Tal would exit the room and would think the same. Yes. You remember our main in a newspaper in Israel, our editor, he told us they worked all night to publish something, the headline. And he said, across the street, there's the editors of the opposite newspaper, and they're doing exactly the same, with the same headline, and nothing to do. It's thoughts. They pass from here to there, and there's no secret agent without it, really. What about example, where we emulate an example? We have research on mood swings. When we see an example on how he acts, it also influences us, not only thoughts. Of course, I would say it's in the same net of thoughts, same connections. It doesn't matter what excitements or influences. It's our net of connection that we pass to each other everything we have, up to a point that I can see all your internal world with all your desires and everything you want. I can read it, really, like from a piece of paper. Don't worry. But really, it's so. That's to summarize that we're connected to each other. If we are truly connected in the right way, meaning in love thy neighbor, then no one is concealed from others. And there's nothing to conceal. When we arrive today to work, we are really exposed to a sea of influences, and it's somewhat not uncomfortable to know this. What you're saying is, I'm in a sea of desires and influences. We have no way to escape this, no way to avoid. The only exception is if I want to not be an influence, I can organize an environment that they have some opinion, which is more real, more strong than the masses. And then I can be in this treatment of this small environment, and in that way not to be influenced by the major society, the masses. This is the small group inside the big group, or inside the humankind, human society. We see there's many groups like this, a lot of cultures, civilizations, but in general, a person is if he wants to keep himself from that, he has to organize a small environment and builds it in a very intense and strong way. Not through the quantity, but through the quality. Who influences more, the close environment, further away? It's all in accordance with how the man, the person appreciates the environment. A large environment influences in a very powerful way through information and knowledge, and it's very stable. But if it's not stable, a small environment can influence him much more, if they're rational. Usually there's a discussion about a child coming to school. Does he learn it from home or does he learn it from school? What influences more? Again, these are two environments which we need to check what influences more. Of course, the school environment is a very big influence. If the school is a good environment, it's... After 2-3 years, the environment can come to a state where the school is much more than their home influence. The home has almost no power. What occurs? A child is at home and school. No, he's not. It's as if he's not at home. He doesn't calculate their environment. He comes there to get services, his needs at home. Yes, mother, where's something to eat? Where's the TV? Where's my computer, my cell phone? I'm going there. Goodbye, that's it. This means he doesn't take into consideration what's going on at home. No. And he really emphasizes what's going on at school. Yes, of course. This means a person determines what influences more. The steering wheel is in the hands of the person? No, the steering wheel is in our ego's hands. If I know that I'm more dependent on the school environment, then I'm more influenced by them. They can beat me, they can respect me, they can... make me popular and play with me. While at home, everything is constantly good. Then I don't care about home. I care about school. There I'm dependent upon their treatment. Then I have to put a lot of efforts so they treat me well. At least they don't cause any harm to me. This means that I have to make more efforts there. That's why they influence me more. That's why it's more important than the home environment. That's why it influences me even more strongly, because it has a greater effect to the good or the bad. If I'm more dependent on them, then I'm more drawn to them and I'm more influenced by them. I care about what happens to them. I want to go back and talk about the fact that we're completely influenced by the environment. It's not something easy to understand. So how is it that we're connected in such a manner? We have the sense of I. Why is it concealed from us? This I is in suffering. He's constantly searching, where am I more secure? Where can I get pleasure? This is the me, the I. We have no idea how this I has nothing. He's constantly searching for the love of others, warmth, security, even the option to control. It's not that I'm always suffering. Even when I want to control someone else, I also am in need of an environment. That's why I'm weak from both sides. On the one hand, the environment influences me even with negative things. On the other hand, I can't disconnect from it. I can't. I need it. There's all sorts of examples of children like Mowgli with children with no environment, how it's destructive, because all our development comes through our interaction with a different person. Our pleasures, our sense of being, With others, I can't sustain myself. I would say here, we have a question about the profession that a person chooses, who he marries. It all depends on where he sees security, this place of comfort. I wanted to ask about this. We're sitting here, and it's like we're talking on our life and searching and researching. We get to this feeling that the influence of the environment on every individual is very strong. Let's look at it in my point of view as an individual. My feeling, if you ask me, of course, the environment that I'm in at home, work, everywhere, of course it influences me to some degree, but of course I have a lot of space of my own free will, my own privacy, some kind of space, meaning I don't want to hear that how much you and research and psychologists who can analyze me and say you're influenced to this much percent with your actions and thoughts from the people around you. It's embarrassing. I don't feel comfortable hearing this. You make me some kind of robot which is governed by the people around me, and it's not so pleasant feeling. And in discussion, it's not that I feel this way. You talked very reasonably in this discussion. Everything is researched and scientific. But emotionally, I won't feel comfortable. If someone says, Oren, I want to reveal something to you, tell you a secret. You're very influenced by your environment, and everything that you thought was free choice by you, it's not you. It won't be comfortable for me to understand this. Why is it built this way? That I don't feel comfort in this feeling. Because it hurts my independence, my free will. When I was a child, and in the sixth or seventh grade, we started to learn on physiology. When do we learn this? Physiology, yes, around that state. Then we learn what parts we have as humans. And we learn about a human. This is a person, the average person. This is what he has. And this is the systems of absorption, of waste. And we have nothing to be ashamed of. On our body. Wait, what we're talking about, it's not a body, it's our internal state, which is part of our body. I have shame, insecurity, fears, the will to control everyone. We're not talking about Owen, we're talking about a person. Then there's no shame. This is how we're built. This is everyone. It's not that it's me. 30, 40 people sit together and they study about themselves. And the teacher explains. And they don't. He doesn't throw it upon them at once. It's slowly, gradually. And I think it's very relevant. It's very important. And it's a problem that we don't learn this. I agree, but I say again, if you turn to me and say, Owen, you're very influenced by the environment. Automatically, I'm in an emotional problem. Because I didn't say a person is very influenced. Because I didn't say a person. I said, Owen, I agree. And you, it's something different. Because when I turn to you, I hurt your ego. What do you hurt? I say that you're weak. That you can't control yourself, govern yourself, that you're controlled by others, that you're just some kind of toy in the hands of the environment, and you yourself don't have anything. And it makes a person very embarrassed. Why is it important to be aware of this? Because we need to know who's a person, who's a human. Through what do I get decisions? Why am I surrounded? How all the commercials, masses influence me, small or big group, my managers, my relatives, my kids, my wife, how she turns me, how my boss. I need to know myself. And when I know this, I can also maintain good relations with everyone. I'm not against this rule. I know that everyone is has this law inside of them, and we determine the right way of relations. I'm not in depression, like all the world who's on pills of antidepressants. I won't be fearful and stressful. I would be able to act in a way that not everyone influences me. All the politics around me influence me and try to convince me. I'll try to learn the psychology of the masses, of the individual, smaller groups, and to make less mistakes. We say that there's the wisdom of the masses. The masses don't make mistakes. If you ask each other, if you ask each one, they, of course they have a lot of mistakes, but each one is mistaken to a different direction. But if we make an average of their mistakes, they're right. So it's not the wisdom of the masses, it's the power of the masses connecting. This is what we have to understand. It's a big difference. The wisdom is not in the masses. It's only if the masses connect, or we have a survey and we have like an average, which has nothing to do with their wisdom. As a person, I need to know this in the modern world, where everyone is around me and want to sell me all these products, and everyone is influencing me from the children at home, through the internet. I'm connected to thousands of networks. Then I must know how to manipulate these things. If not, I'm in great suffer all my life, from beginning to end, and they will determine everything I need to eat, sleep. All my life, I only maintain this. I will put all my efforts to their desire. I don't want to be that, like that. Or at least I want to know that that's what I'm doing. And if I know, then at least I leave myself some buffer of freedom, some air to breathe, and not constantly to sit in that way, and to sleep in that way, and to see these shows, and to buy this food and not that food, and so on. Okay, there's examples that even when people read a book or see a movie, it's influencing them. Of course. How is it possible that even a book can manipulate a person? And what does it mean? How is it not possible? Books up until our 20th century, where we have newspapers, and from the 21st century with TV, books was all that connected civilizations. Everything was through books. You talked about influence of the environment, so even a book or a movie, science fiction, people like these genres, and they build some kind of world who takes place in the reality. Yes, of course, but it's for specific ages and specific people, kinds of people. The youth perceives it for a year or two, then it passes on. If a person is stuck on that, he stays young forever. Yes, it works to the advantage of a child to see and hear. It develops him. I don't see it as good or bad. I see it as a development. When he reads, he needs to calculate, what am I developing through this influence and that influence of this book or that book? And then he can read or see whatever. But he has to calculate first. You don't have to be careful, you have to be aware. The parents can't do anything, but he is responsible in that to how he builds himself. The parents can't do anything, school doesn't do anything as well. We need to give the child the tools to know, what am I doing, what am I seeing, what am I hearing, where am I going, with whom am I in contact with. In accordance to that, I build myself. This is how he has to know in a very clear way. We have to give a lot of importance on that if we want to build a human. Because we're in a world that we're not interested in building a human, we want to... The elites, the ones who control the world or the country, they don't want it to be so. They want a person to not know where it comes from, to be influenced, to stay that way, to be influenced by their ideology. So of course here we're in a situation, we see what's going on in schools and everywhere. It's not like they didn't think about this. They saw it differently. They wanted to give education to our kids that it eliminates all their criticism. Every government. Because they want to govern. They want to control the people. To control the people, you have to cancel all the criticism, all the scrutiny, all their understanding of who am I influenced by and why they're doing that. Of course, look at what's going on with this dumbness of civilization, all this process of making people dumber. In school you learn less. The demand from a person and towards others, what values are in the highest places in our culture. Everything is aimed from above. Nothing is by chance. Everything is aimed so we're influenced more and more by their ideology. It's as if we're going back. We're not even going back. We're coming to the human who came out of the cave thousands of years ago. He had the desire to develop. We wanted to develop more and more. From the middle of the 20th century, approximately, from the 1960s, 70s, from there on, we just stopped developing. The process is to make a person dumber. Because we came to a state, we can give a person everything he needs. We don't need humans. Even the military, they don't need people. The factories don't need people. What do we need, this quantity of people, this mass? From there on, there was a tendency to make the masses really dumb and it's like Oren said, he doesn't need to know. In accordance to the managers, he doesn't need to know he's managed. Go to work, go back home, and so on. They fill a person from morning to night, so he runs around, gets all these services, and that's it. That's your life. So this awareness to our weakness, to the fact that we're influenced, will give us power. Yes, and that's why they're not interested in this awareness. The elite are not interested that we are aware. And we are aware. Oh, if we want to be aware, we come back to the influence of the smaller group on the masses. There, we need to work on our ideology, our message, so it's understood to the common people, and stick with it, to be patient with it, and throughout time, especially in situations where the world feels itself unstable and uncertain, all these shakes, there it can enter. It's interesting, there was a demonstration in England, Great Britain, and there was a lot of looting, a lot of violence, and everyone was in shock. The people of Great Britain, who are seemingly educated with no criminal background, they swept away in this wave of violence, and it proved how strong can the environment have. If I see someone else do something, I do it myself, and all sorts of research show that. If a person has evidence of breaking the law around him, he also allows himself to break the law, because our ego pulls us in that direction. It's easier. I see something to gain in it. Well, to explode, I deserve something, and more. But the fact that you say that people today, especially in Great Britain, they're different than what they were a few thousand years ago, it's not true. It's not true, because never in human history we took care of to make a human. We developed a human. The same animal that developed from a monkey, from an ape, it continued to be an ape. And there's nothing that sustains us except for shame. And in short, we're afraid to get hurt by the environment. We build the human society from fear. And if this fear is not present, let's say the masses went to the streets, the fear is gone, we're willing to do anything. Instantaneously, we're apes. On the spot. You can bring to me people from Oxford, Harvard. It has nothing to do with it. It's not different. I promise you, you take the Queen of England and you put her in this mass, and we can manipulate her in a way that she will start looting and break windows and steal the watches or gold things from the windows of the shops. Yes, it's hard to accept this, to understand it. Why? Why have you done to rise the human above his ego? He's in his ego like he was before. It's just that now his ego is stopping him because he's afraid to harm himself. The environment would put him in jail or something. When these fears are not present, because all this mass is on the street, there's no rules, he doesn't care. Understand, there can't be a collective punishment. And all this fear you built disappears. We have no inner, internal, good or bad. No, we saw it in Nazi Germany. Yes, we have the Zimbardo experiment where he put the students in jail and gave them conditions of a prisoner and guard. And through a very short time, these American students who have no background of evil, they enjoyed inflicting harm upon each other with no personal gain, they started to harm everyone else. So now that we're aware, even in the smallest amount more, that we're in a system who has a lot of pressure. What do? We organize an environment, a society, small, a few thousand people. Who's we? We who understand that we need to change the nature of a human. That up until now, humanity hasn't dealt with it. And now, when the connection net is revealed between us, we must take care of everyone, that he understands where he is, what are his internal impulses, how the pressure from the outside is inflicting him, how he's being manipulated by politics and elites, how wars occur today between countries. It's not through weapons, but rather it's through these influence of the masses within the opposing country. That's the weapon. No one needs weapons and bombs, and we just make a revolution in the international level. What do I need to do anything? I'll make your citizens revolution and go to the streets. I turn things in a way that they would work, not that I would work, through the environment's influence. So in this world, we need to teach people, like we talked about, what is their nature, what environment they are in, what kind of connections, how can we influence our destiny so we're not like puppets in the hands of those who want to manipulate us. How do we organize in the right manner that we control the world and not these elites control us, and so on. This is a social progress process. This means that a small group influences the bigger group. People who understand this idea start to distribute this idea to all the nation. This I call a social process. This is influence. But here we have influence from the smaller group to the bigger group. So basically people like you are trying to organize an awareness from the smaller group to the bigger universal group. I want to take it to the day-to-day life. We say influence of the society and the environment is in every level. The individual, how can he, let's say he understood, he listened to our talk, understood of this influence on each one, in every subject, in our words, thoughts, and everything. How can I start using this in an educated manner in my life, in my society that I live in? My society has a lot of circles. I have my life at home and life at work. Basically, that's it. After what I heard today, I understood that I am influenced completely by the environment, at home, at work. Can I do something with it to the positive manner? No, you can't do anything. So why did you teach me this? We didn't teach you. Well, I listened for 45 minutes. Well, you didn't even start to understand. You have to go through an inner change inside our society and from our society. What do you mean, your society? I have to learn more? No, you have to integrate within us. Where is this? This learning method? I have to learn more? You have to learn all your life. And then what will happen? Then, through time, you would start seeing improvements inside of you. You start to understand and feel that the world is turning in a very different manner than what you thought before. And the connection has to be different between people. You have to determine different relations with your closer circles and further away circles. What kind of relations? Well, relations of connection. What does it have to do with anything? So it's positive and not negative. So you mean I would have the power to use this knowledge? But for now I'm using it not knowingly. Eventually I'll learn how to organize myself aware that I can progress to where I want to progress. Can everyone have this ability? Yes, if he's in the right system. This learning stages. Every person can get to a state where he is in control on how society influences him. Yes. But you change all your life. You understand? You teach your children, family members, society that you're in. You start to be a source of bestow, a source of very special influence, very different from now. You're not some kind of puppet. You start to understand what's going on. You look at it, what's going on in the news, you see why they manipulate you in that manner. You see why on the streets they're rioting. These demonstrations. You see what's going on in all these countries who fight each other. How will this influence my understanding, let's say, for the people around me at work? What would I understand now that I didn't understand before? You would have a sense, a right sense of everything around you. Who's manipulating you and why? It's like opposite of our method that's known today. That individualism is better. It allows me freedom. Who's individual? He's just not aware of the fact that he's a robot. It's opposite of the current way of thinking. You say, it's not that I choose. I can even enter a place which I don't choose, an environment that I don't choose. From my awareness, yes? What gives you this ability suddenly to read people around you and see all the manipulations? What did you add to yourself? What component? It looks like to go to a store and to buy some program. Yes, I bought this program. And now I can see all these manipulations. What is this component? What do I add to myself that you said earlier? I can sit down and read all her inner world. No, that's a different thing. What I bought myself is a net. The net of connection with everyone is obvious to me. It's revealed to me. I see all the connections between people. I feel what they breathe, live, what they run for. It's like you see babies. How they're running around. All directions. And what? It influences you. Personally, no. You have to rise above their calculation. Above your ego. Just because you're inside your ego, you're as if you're buried in your ego, you're influenced by them. What is this process? If you rise above this, where do I rise above? I will teach you. Just so you know, I have a lot of interest in enjoying life. First of all, you have to be independent. This is the key, your independency. Okay, we would have to talk about it more. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you, viewers, and for being with us. New life. Thank you. Goodbye.